The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Hour 2 of We the People. You can find the first hour at wethepeopleradio.us. We'll have the archive up right after the show. It'll have all the commercials in it. And then this afternoon, 3:30, 4 o'clock, something like that, we will have commercial-free archives split by the hours, so you can listen to one, listen to the other. You can put it on Facebook, send it to your friends, pop it out on Twitter. That is a good tool, by the way. If you're not using Twitter, you should be. There's a ton of good stuff on there. There's a ton of funny stuff, too. So if you'd like to just burn some time, it's a good place to burn time, but it's also a good place to get information. We are here with Scott Blackburn from the VA. He is a U.S. Army veteran and also a veteran in private industry who has taken up the the case of the VA, I guess. Well, they're heading up a task force. It's called My VA. I don't know what they call the task force, but we're going to see it as My VA. And Kristen Rule, our whistleblower from Philadelphia that we've had on several times before, is part of this task force. So she had alerted me last week that this was just going really well, and it wasn't just smoke and mirrors or, you know, a bunch of happy talk that was going to add up to nothing, and thought we should have Scott on here to tell us all about it. So that's my my short synopsis of the first hour. Scott, can you tell us about, since we're in far northern California, and I'm looking at your map, for those folks who are not looking online, there is a PowerPoint on there, and there's also another really good PDF with a ton of information if you'd like to send it to someone. But I'm on slide number 21, and it says Diffusion of Excellence, Spreading Best Practices. And I notice we don't have anything going on, well, in some states, but in far northern California. Do you guys need an experimental place for rural America?
I think we would love that.
Because we would really like to volunteer. We want to raise our hand and volunteer, I guess, is my point.
Yeah, we will have to make that happen. I don't know there's a clinic out in Redding. But yeah, the diffusion of excellence, so it's very interesting, and I did not know this about the VA, but we have 168 major medical centers and all kinds of clinics that were set up to run relatively independent from each other. And as a result, what we would find is everybody innovated on their own and would find a solution, and they would be very proud that they're the only VA that does X. And then they wouldn't tell the other 167 places about that
unless
it was by accident. It's absolutely crazy. So when we went around and we started asking people for best practices, and Kristen was part of the Idea House team that was going, and we realized, we said, wait a second here. We got a lot of good stuff going on that just isn't being spread. So we actually organized a team, we modeled it after the TV show Shark Tank, in which people submitted best practices, and we whittled it down to something like 140. And then we had people bid on those 140 best practices. And instead of in Shark Tank, instead of the bidding with venture capital money, they actually bid with people and resources and said, hey, budget, you know, I'm willing to go and implement these best practices. So we got the 140 all the way down to 13 killer best practices that we want to spread all the way across the country. And what we're doing right now is we identified, for example, one of the best practices came out of Fresno, California, and they're just doing an awesome job in Fresno in a very, very creative way, getting same-day appointments, which is one of our, or same-day access, which is one of our big priorities in Fresno. And the people in the Gulf Coast, Mississippi, you know, Alabama, et cetera, said, hey, we want some of that. Bring that here. And Fresno is actually mentoring the Gulf Coast on how to do that, and now they're going out and mentoring others on how to do that. And we're really hoping that this catch on. We're starting with these 13 best practices, but we're hoping this becomes systematic and part of the culture.
I think that's great. Because, see, up where we are, well, there was a, I don't know if you saw it in the chat, see if I can read this here. Here's one of our guys, says, was sent to Travis Air Force Base 2 weeks ago for a neurosurgeon consult, 6-hour round trip. The doctor told me he looked at my MRI and MRA, whatever that is, and told me he couldn't do anything for me until I talked to a neurologist. Well, that was time well spent. You know, and that's why I said if you're looking for a place to experiment, at least from the veteran side, I don't know how the clinics and those guys feel about it, but we are the closest clinic to Sacramento, which is really the hub of medical services there with Mather and Travis, and you have, you know, the big facilities there. So you head 2.5 hours north and you get to us. And then you have a smaller clinic, another hour, 20 minutes north of us, and there's one in between. So we're only, the entire northern end of California is only served by these two small clinics and then a single physician up in far northern California. So most of those folks wind up going to the Oregon facilities because it's just too far. Or they sit on a van. They've got to catch the van at, I don't know, they got to get up at like 2 o'clock in the morning or something in order to get the van to go to down to Sacramento, sometimes for something pretty basic,
yeah.
Periodontal work or something like that.
Well, we have a huge, huge veteran community here, and they're very active. I mean, there's always something going on involving the veterans in Redding or in Shasta County.
Yeah, they're really active, and they would love to help.
Yeah, and we want to canvas that energy, and it, you know, it's really too bad. It's way too often that I hear stories like that, and you know, we really need the precedent, particularly in rural America. We are working on things like telehealth to expand that, so it's easier. So, for example, you know, my dad lives, you know, he's now 70 years old, living in Massachusetts. It's a really a burden for him to get into Boston. Particularly for routine type of, you know, appointments. So is there other ways that we could use technology so people don't have to, drive 3 hours for routine type of things? One of the other things that we're doing is we're trying to cut out the steps in the process that don't make sense. So for example, in the past, you've had to, go to your primary care doctor.
Yes.
If you want some kind of referral for audiology or optometry. Which just doesn't make any sense. So we're cutting that out so that we have more direct appointments, which is also going to unclog our primary care.
Well, that, you know, that's always been a question mark for me, because if they have to wait to get into primary care, and we've had some pretty good shortages up here, so they've got to wait just to get into something basic, and the primary care person isn't going to do anything for them anyway. So, oh my gosh, that would be very well received. I know that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, another thing, too, is you have to remember that, you know, one bad story is going to get repeated, what is it, 11 to 1 versus a good story. And that's why I'm kind of excited that Scott's on today, is we get to hear the good stuff today.
Yes, and it isn't fake good stuff.
Typically, we only hear the bad stuff. So, I mean, this is pretty exciting news.
I think one of the coolest things about it, too, is to the people on this team that I'm seeing, one bad story is one too many. So I've even seen when someone's just written in to explain that they had a bad experience, they'll actually, you know, follow up and show you that they do care about you. Like, it's, to me, I'm just seeing a whole different mentality. I'm seeing a different way of doing business, and I don't know. I'm just happy to be part of the team.
And that's a great point, Kristen, because I think if they just know you care is 90% of the problem. But when they walk in and get the impression that nobody really cares about their problem, it's going to be an uphill struggle from that point on. So, no, that's a great point.
I think that a lot of these things, you know, just with a mindset change, I think we all know that culture is everything. And so when you get a culture in a corporation or a large agency or whatever, you drive away a lot of good people, you reward a lot of bad behavior, and you cement in a lot of bad practices instead of best practices. So I think that the tack you guys are taking is really helpful. Kristen had told me, too, that, Scott, just in case you didn't know, she has people that call in just to test the system. They call in and make recommendations or complaints or whatever, nice, just to see if anybody calls back. You'll never know who it is.
Secret shopper.
Yeah, secret shoppers. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah,
because a lot of people call me sometimes when something goes wrong, and I love to help people. But sometimes I say, okay, I think we have a new VA. I think if you take this route and you try and stand up for yourself, or you report this issue that you're having, let's just see if they're going to fix it first. If you have no success or it's not going so well, call me back and we'll think of another plan. And I usually don't get any callbacks. So
that's good.
I can see that things are changing.
See, that's fun when you can see it directly, especially when you were experiencing the opposite before. We need to take a really quick break. We're going to come back. Scott, you will have to direct us for the last part of this. Otherwise, we will miss a lot of good stuff. So we'll shut up and let you drive the bus. When we return, you are listening to We the People. We're chatting with the folks from the VA, Scott Blackburn and Kristen Rule. You can find all the information online, wethepeopleradio.us.
So many lies, you twisted my heart till something snapped inside. I'd like to give it one more try, but my give a damn's busted.
Brave, gotta call it brave to chase that dream across the sea. Names, then they sign their names for something they believe. How the blood ran red, we laid our dead in sacred ground. Just think, wonder what they'd think if they could see us now. It's been a long, hard ride, got a ways to go, but this is still the place that we all call home.
I think that ought to be your hold music right there. Not bad. All right, Scott. What else are you guys up to that we haven't talked about yet?
Well, we got all kinds of stuff going up. I was just exchanging notes with Kristen, and she mentioned we should probably talk a little bit about what we're doing on appeals of reform, as I know that's something
that would be good.
Kind of stresses everybody else. Oh yeah. This is something I didn't realize before I came to the VA, but how long it takes for people to get the appeals through. And in a lot of cases, it's years. And I think, Aaron, you even kind of mentioned a couple of examples where you know, in some places it even has gotten to decades.
Absolutely
absurd.
Yeah, like three. And then they denied them anyway yesterday, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
So it gets to go to court now. Fabulous.
And it's a really bizarre system, and there's a lot of things wrong with it. And veterans can continue to appeal, which will clog up the system for other veterans and various different things. So there are folks on the team that said, okay, we need to take a completely different view of this, because if you look at the way that the claims backlog it spiked up, and then the team did a good job driving that backlog down, well, all those get pushed to the right. And as we took a look at our current appeals, I think right now our backlog is over 400,000, and it would grow to over 2 million within a few years. And so the situation would only get worse. So we took a look at that, and we said, gosh, this needs fresh eyes. We need to do something very, very different. And this was a great example of saying, what's the right thing to do for the veterans? So we actually convened different veteran service organizations, leaders in, with a lot of different opinions. We got, congressional folks in from both sides of the aisle, involved in this. We reached out to to the states. Each state has their own little state secretary of veterans affairs. So we reached out to, that organization got different folks involved. And we literally locked ourselves into a room for a couple of days and said, this, the current situation is not acceptable. What can we do to fix this? One of the leaders from one of the veterans service organizations told us at the beginning, he said, there's no way in hell you're ever going to get everybody on the same page there. But you know what? After a couple of days locked in the room and focused on what's the right thing for the veterans, we did. And we put together a bill that is going through the Senate and the House right now that will address a lot of these issues and hopefully make appeals a lot more smoother and a lot easier in the future. It still has to pass. It still has to go through. But I think that's something that is very different. And one of the things we're proud of is how we work together as a team with the Veterans Service Organizations, Congress, and others to get that done.
Well, I think that's really helpful because Congress has been all over you guys, and I know that the congressional office here in Northern California has, just because we just have so many, and it's not just trivial complaints. I mean, these are big things that affect people's lives, and the answer that we get is either crickets or BS. So it would be good to have a lot more accountability and some people who are looking to problem solve that stuff. I think that's going to be an excellent trend.
You know, something that I'll never forget that I heard in one of the meetings. We have every other Tuesday we have a meeting, and everybody that's on the MyVA team, you know, if you're virtual, you call in, or some people that are there, they gather in, you know, in a conference room. And so one meeting I heard somebody say, we need to get the right people in the right places doing the right things. And I was like, wow, that's a start. That's like your best. That's like great, because I realize there's a lot of great people at the VA, and some people have amazing skills, but they might not be in the right job for them. So when I heard them say that, I felt like, wow, they understand the problem.
Exactly. And, you know, that brings up a question, Scott. What's going on with human resources as far as that goes? Because we've heard about a lot of people doing bad things, and obviously those things have been, a lot of them have been proven, but it seems like nothing ever happens, and those people are still in charge of large swaths of veterans and employees. You guys have an element that's going there too?
Yeah, we do, and human resources has been a big challenge for a lot of different reasons, and that's an area that we absolutely need to get right. As Chris said, I love the way that you put it. You know, Bob McDonald and Sloan Gibson will talk about the author, Jim Collins, who wrote a bunch of different books, but he talks about getting the right people in the right seats on the bus. And what we're finding is there is a lot of that. There is, we need to get people in positions that absolutely match their skills. For those people that don't belong there, we need to get them doing something else, right? Get them out of the system. Another thing that we need to address is hiring, right? Is speed of hiring. So one of the initiatives that we found out is when we went to figure out why is customer service so bad in certain places? We were asking, hey, do we need greeters? Do they need training or whatever it might be? One of the things we found, which was surprising, was we just didn't have people there, period. And what was happening is these are entry-level positions, and they would turn over at a rate of something like 30% of a year, some of which, by the way, some of that turnover is great because these are entry-level positions and the good people are moving up, and we want to continue to encourage that. But when the people would leave, we would act surprised. And it would then take 4 to 6 months for these people to be replaced. And then we didn't screen for customer service. And then when we did bring these people on, we wouldn't give them the training that they needed to succeed. So we're addressing that. We're now taking a completely different look at that. We're going to predict that type of turnover. If we know that 100 people are going to leave, and in any given year, we're going to figure out, okay, how many people do we need to hire every single month to keep up with that? We're going to we're leaning out the process to hire. So the steps that don't make sense or can be done in parallel, we're going to address those. We're going to screen for customer service and for the right skills, and then we're going to give the people the right training. This is an initiative that we're calling Hire Right, Hire Fast, that will address a lot of these issues and hopefully get better people at the front lines being able to serve it. And then we're also focusing on leader development as well. We have a program called Leaders Developing Leaders. One of the problems that we have in the past that has really kind of killed us is we've promoted on at best technical competency, not on leadership skills, and we haven't trained people on how to be a great leader, which is so bizarre to so many people in the military. But in the VA, that wasn't happening. So we're now focused on just basic blocking and tackling leadership type of skills. How do you be more vulnerable and share your story? How do you eliminate bureaucracy that doesn't make sense? How do you communicate a vision and a story? How do you put together a plan to get to that vision? And these are things that we're cascading throughout the organization to really kind of strengthen the workforce. But it will take a little bit of time to get to the broad, 340,000 people that we talked about earlier.
Sure. And what about doctors? You know, I hear that a lot, especially up here in the rural areas, that it is really cumbersome to hire doctors into the VA. And then, I don't know what's going on, but here we have a lot of them coming in and going out sometimes at the same time. You know, they come in, they don't stay long, and they leave.
Yeah. Well, one of the problems is this isn't just a VA problem. It's an American healthcare problem. We don't have enough doctors, nurses, and healthcare professionals.
Sure.
as a country overall. And then, we do get a lot of great doctors that care about veterans and that will stay for a period of time. But we need to also be able to pay them effectively. We have a couple of bills to have a little bit more flexibility and be able to do that. We do need to recruit more. One of the things that is concerning is with all the negative press that we've gotten over the last couple of years, our number of applications for doctors has tanked significantly because people are worried about, hey, they have these perceptions about going to work at the VA, and we need to address that. We need to change those perceptions, and we need to get doctors through here. We want every doctor, as you mentioned before, 7 out of 10 doctors in the United States have at least done, a part of their residency at the VA. When I talk to doctor friends and private doctors out there, they look very fondly at their time at the VA because they get to serve the best patients in the world. But, we need to make it a more attractive day-to-day, venture for those people, particularly in the rural areas.
Sure. And I guess the hiring process is hard. And I don't know what it entails. I didn't go to med school, but I guess it's really cumbersome and it takes forever.
It takes way too long. It takes absolutely way too long. And we're taking steps to kind of streamline and address that. The other part that is taking way too long is critical hires in our the people that actually run our medical center. What we're finding is those medical centers that actually perform well. And when you actually took a look at the data, about 25% of the VA hospitals actually perform at great levels, among the best hospitals in the country. You can take our Palo Alto facility, the Boston facility, Indianapolis facility. These are fantastic facilities. We have 50% that are average, and we have about 25% that need some significant help. And when you take a look at what one of the key differentiators there, it's leadership continuity and a good leader that is running the hospital. And I forget the numbers right now, but our vacancy rates of medical service directors is way too high. We've identified those as critical positions so that we can get stability in some of these underperforming medical centers.
I think that's awesome. because we do see gaps in those things. I'm also curious, excuse me, I'm also curious on just the setup with the Benefits Administration and the Health Administration. Like in benefits, the claims process is run like an assembly line. I'm always explaining this to people. They're like, why isn't there someone I can call? And it's like, well, it isn't like real claims. Like if you get an auto claim, you call your adjuster, and they sort of carry you through the whole process. You might go get quotes from a shop, but if there's a problem, the adjuster deals with it. In the claims process, it's more like a car assembly line. I mean, the guy that puts on the side view mirrors doesn't know anything about bumpers because that was done by somebody else. Is there any thought to making it a more, I don't know if friendly is the right word, but more like real claims, you know, how regular claims go, where you have somebody who actually knows the claim and follows it along?
Yeah, there is, and I'd love to get Kristen's point of view because she's actually worked in a regional office. I haven't, but I think the focus historically has just been on just cranking out production and not realizing that there's a veteran space beyond this. And actually, in Philadelphia, Kristen, I know recently they did something called Vet Connect, where and this, by the way, was an idea of two employees. One in central office, one in the Philadelphia office, where they brought in a bunch of veterans that actually use the services in the benefit office, and they had 100 employees from the Philadelphia regional office that came in, and they connected with them, and they had conversations around what's working and what's not, and you know, what are their frustrations with the system, and they realized that, hey, these are real people. And I think when you're able to do that, you get that better customer service. We are going to move to, by Veterans Day of this year, there is going to be one common phone number that you can call if you don't know how to reach or the VA or who to call at the VA. You call this one common number, and we'll get you to the right person. So we're moving in that direction.
Wow,
that's... Kristen, you probably have thoughts, actually, having worked in an RO before.
Yeah, and what I do notice is in the last few years I've seen a push towards automation, and there was, you know, that had its own struggles in the beginning. But what I see happening just from, you know, as an everyday rank and file employee is I see them pushing certain things towards automation, which once they get all the wrinkles out, I think that'll be better because then they'll be able to focus. There'll be certain things that they can focus on that they have to manually, where some claims can be automated and we can use our talent for things that require more experience. They're coming up with a national work queue, which is interesting as well. And, you know, without getting into too much detail, there's just new things. And just like anything, at the beginning, sometimes there's wrinkles. But I'm seeing everybody's working together as a team because, for once, I feel like they recognize the problems. And if they were fixed too fast, they probably wouldn't be fixed the right way.
Sure.
So... I think in a little bit of time. Even with vets.gov, that's something I didn't know about until I joined the MyVA team, where you can log in, and there were things where you could check things for your education. Like if you wanted to go to school, there were different schools that were participating. You could research to see if the school you wanted to go to was, you know, qualified for what you were applying for, and eventually there's going to be other things on that website. So I think in due time.
You can do things a little bit more for yourself then.
Yeah.
As a veteran. I think people would like to be able to have a little more hands-on.
Review things to make sure, you know, I'm not sure what happened when I sent my claim, and, oh, look, I can look.
Oh,
and
that's
I can
true.
See where it is. And if it's not where you think it is, then you can call the VA instead of having to call the VA because you're not sure even if it got there.
So you're going
to
close the black hole? We're going to take away the black hole option. We need to take a really quick break. When we come back, Bill's got a question for you. I don't know what it is. Should we leave him in suspense, or do you want to ask him now?
Well, it kind of gets back to the online technology side of it. And how many folks are really going to have the ability, patience, and expertise to navigate an online system.
It's going to be easy. That's the whole point. So you guys can address that when we come back. Got to take a quick break. You are listening to We the People. We are chatting with Scott Blackburn and Kristen Rule from the VA. We'll be right back. WeThePeopleRadio.us.
I'm just trying to be a father, raise a daughter and a son, be a lover to their mother, everything to everyone. Up and at 'em bright and early, I'm all business in my suit. Yeah, I'm dressed up for success, from my head down to my boots. I don't do it for the money, there's bills that I can't pay. I don't do it for the glory, I just do it anyway. Providing for our futures, my responsibility. Yeah, I'm real good under pressure, being all that I can be. And I can't call in sick on Monday when the weekend's been too strong. I just work straight through the holidays, sometimes all night long. You can bet that I stand ready when the wolf growls at the door. Hey, I'm solid, hey, I'm steady, hey, I'm true down to the core. And I will always do my duty, no matter what the price. I've counted up the cost.
Hey, Scott. So we've got a burning question. Talk to us about the technology side of it. A lot of this is web-based. What about the folks that aren't so good with technology?
Yeah, it gets back a little bit to what I was talking about before with the customer segmentation or the veteran personas, as we're calling it. Different veterans are going to interact with the system in very different ways. My grandfather, he's passed, but the World War II veteran, would not jump on the computer and vets.gov and things of that nature. So we're finding alternative ways and we're to do that. So for those that are leveraging technology, whether it's My Healthy Vet or eBenefits or vets.gov to get the services they need, or, you know, in person in local clinics or vet centers or whatever that mean, we're working with those folks to kind of figure out how is the best, what do they really care about and how can we deliver that in a effective and efficient means, that is being responsible with taxpayer money.
I think that's cool. And talk to me about, I can't tell you how many times I've phoned a different VA facility, and always embedded in that voicemail is, and by the way, if you're considering suicide, call this other number, and they rattle it off, and I'm thinking, how many people that are going to, I mean, okay, I'm fortunate. I've never tried to kill myself, but if I was going to, I'm not doing it with a pencil in my hand. You know? Like, who's writing down this number and then calling it?
That's actually one of our breakthrough priorities, and that should be fixed in the next couple of months. The goal is by the end of the summer. I can't remember the exact date, but when you call a VA medical center, all you have to do is, if you're in crisis, press 7.
Oh, thank goodness.
And we've started doing that. I can't remember how many facilities we have that in place right now. We pilot it, and we're rolling that out now. We're going area of the country by area of the country in the process of rolling that out. But that's been an incredible frustrating piece. But let me tell you, and reminder to any callers in there that are ever in crisis, our Veterans Crisis Line, located up in Canandaigua, New York, does amazing work, does absolutely amazing work. And I can't tell you the number of veterans, when I've been out there talking, that have come to me and grabbed me and say, hey, you know, I had a bad night one night, and I called that line, and that line saved my life. And last week in Boston, I heard a story that absolutely had me in tears from a veteran's wife whose husband was thinking about doing harm to himself and called that line. So if you are in trouble, please do call that line and get the help that you need. They do fantastic work.
I'm glad to hear that that's going to be easier, because I've always wondered, why can't it just be push a button? You know what I mean? Like, why can't that be one of the choices of really early on? Because obviously it's an emergency.
I like what you said, too, about same-day appointments, or at least, you know, the ability to get an appointment in a timely fashion, because I hear that a lot, where folks call in and, you know, they basically get kind of a runaround, or at least that's how they feel, and it's sometimes weeks before they can get in to see somebody, and gosh, that just, you talk about put a tear in your eye, it's just not right.
Yeah, and we've, you know, it's interesting, because a lot's been made of the wait times. We have a slightly different philosophy that if you need to see a doctor now, you need to see a doctor now. We need to figure out a way to do that. So, for example, as Kristen knows, I had a little bicycle accident when on Father's Day weekend when I was out. I have a 10-year-old and a 7-year-old boys, and they had bought me a new bicycle for my birthday a few weeks earlier. We went on our first bike ride. I ended up, or at the very end, I slipped over the handlebars, and I shattered my arm. So I had to have surgery.
That's why grown-ups don't have bikes.
I know.
or skateboards.
I had to have surgery, I called up, and I needed a pre-op appointment from the VA, and I needed it by Friday. And I was calling them on a Wednesday, Tuesday or Wednesday. But I basically said, look, I need an appointment right now. And they tried to figure out there was nothing in the schedule and everything. But I was able to, using the secure messaging, email the doctor directly. This is what the scheduler told me to do. Email the doctor directly at the Washington VAMC. And he wrote me back an hour later and said, hey, come in tomorrow morning at 8:30. I'll fit you in. I had my pre-op appointment, was able to have surgery. So when people need urgent appointments, we need to get them in. It wouldn't have been acceptable for me to wait 29 days in that case. We need to build a more flexible system to meet the needs of our patients.
And I think that's what really excites me, Scott, about you, is the fact that you've experienced well, number one, you're a vet, and you've experienced the machinery of the VA, and you know what needs to be done.
Well, and you also stink at doublespeak, just in case no one has mentioned that before.
Yeah, you seem pretty good at answering questions.
You have no future as a bureaucrat. Because I have to say, typically we ask questions of people at the VA, and it turns into like a filibuster. You know, everything becomes a filibuster, and it just... You know, nothing grinds me more than, you know, you ask a direct question, and sometimes the answer's long, I get it, but most of the time it's just circular. Mm-hmm. So the non-circular nature of your approach, your personal approach, I think is probably really, really refreshing.
Scott starts all of his meetings
off.
It's
something I'm very passionate about.
He has an eye care jar, and at the beginning of our meeting, not every meeting, but every other week we have this meeting, we read some other things that employees could have submitted about, you know, people they work with. So we always start our meeting with reading nice things about somebody else that you work with and showing, you know, that that's important too. And sometimes when I hear that, you know, if someone reads one about me, like my day goes 10 times better. Just from someone, just hearing someone say thanks, or you know, you did a good job.
That's kind of a nice change.
Yeah, that's being in the customer service field. I can tell you, the phone call just to say thank you or you're doing a great job, hang in there. That doesn't happen very often.
Well, and as you can see, he's definitely busy. So it's cool to me that he takes time out to remember that kind of stuff too.
Absolutely.
I think it's a very important part of the culture that we're trying to build. You know, the VA gets a lot of bad press, and it really trickles down to the workforce, and there's a self-esteem problem. I kind of relate back when I was in college. I played quarterback, and I loved playing football 6.5 days a week, and the half day a week I didn't like was film sessions. So I would throw 4 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. When you're watching the films and you see the touchdowns, they breeze right through it and they say, yep, that's your job. And I'm like, hey, wait a sec, I did a great job. But when you get the interceptions, you play it over and over again, and what were you thinking? You know, somebody, one of the members of our advisory committee mentioned it's kind of like training a puppy. You need to smack them on the nose when they need to be smacked on the nose, but you also need to give them treats to reinforce good behavior as well.
True, because we've spoken to a lot of your unhappy employees, and I know that many of them over time have not felt valued. And they've been people who desperately wanted to do a great job, but they eventually had to leave because they couldn't take it anymore. Trying to do a good job just got them in trouble. So I think that this trend is fabulous. We have to take one more quick break before the top of the hour. It'll be a fast one. And then when we come back, you guys let us know anything you want people to go and look at or anything we've missed. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Just remarking during the break, Scott, since you haven't heard any of our previous programs, we used to love using that song, Dirty Laundry. So we've made it through a whole show about the VA, and we haven't had to use the song Dirty Laundry, so it's kind of confusing.
I am going to have to get the soundtrack of songs from Bob, though. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I think that last one should probably be your theme song. Yeah, if you got a problem, we can help. So what else do people need to know? Especially folks that are listening who maybe aren't veterans but know people who use the VA who maybe have experienced issues or whatever, what's the first thing they should tell them to do based on this information?
Well, I think the first thing is if a veteran needs help, then to encourage the veteran to get help. The one thing that breaks my heart often is, you know, I ran into a childhood friend of mine who was an Army Ranger, you know, that was wounded in combat, and this was, you know, fantastic athlete growing up, and he's got a bad shoulder, bad legs, and I asked him, I said, hey, are you going to the VA? And he said, oh, no, I've never even tried. I'm not, you know, I've had enough of the government. But there's help that you can get from the VA, whether it's through the crisis line, healthcare, applying for the benefits that, that veterans have earned, whatever it might be. If people need help, to go ahead and to ask help. And for even those folks that aren't veterans, to go out there to volunteer, to band together. There's so many great veteran service organizations to join or volunteer opportunities. One thing that's really cool that we've launched are what we're calling community veteran advisory boards. And I think there's one that's actually in the works in Sacramento. Sounds like there even could be one that is needed there in Redding that we could talk offline about. There's one in Philadelphia that's already up and going. What we did is we joined forces with an existing organization called the Delaware Valley Veterans Consortium in Philadelphia that we're standing up, and we're using these forums in which they're actually run by veterans in the community, in which other veterans can express concerns and we can solve problems down at the local level. And the VA will have a seat at the table. Congressional folks will have a seat at the table. VSOs, veteran service organizations, will have a seat at the table, and will resolve issues closer to the front lines versus having to escalate them through your congressman or up to the secretary or somebody like myself in Washington. We're setting these in place, and as they're getting up and going, to join these organizations and to help really, really make a difference. Also, for anybody that's listening on there, I would encourage you to go on vets.gov, which is the new veteran interface. We haven't marketed it very heavily because it's kind of being designed in the open. On the bottom right-hand corner, there's a place where you can provide feedback. So if you want to go and test that out, we're very proud. We just unveiled a new and faster way where you can instantaneously apply for healthcare and get a decision right there. Which is a novel idea, rather than waiting several weeks or months to get your decision that should be relatively obvious. So we're making these improvements in real time, and all the feedback we can get, we would greatly appreciate.
That's awesome, because there are really easy things, you know, like adding a dependent that just take years. It's nuts. So
yeah, that should be instantaneous.
Yeah, that's kind of what we thought. Oh, my gosh. You're a breath of fresh air, Scott. Kristen, this is the best lead you've ever had, even though we didn't get to play Dirty Laundry.
Maybe we don't need to play Dirty Laundry.
I know. Isn't that awesome? We can go beat up the IRS next.
But we still got to play Bad Girls.
Yeah, we did get to play Bad Girls. That was always a plus. Thanks a lot, both of you.
Thank you so much, Scott, for coming on. We want to have you back again. We'll get this thing rolling and see how we're doing 6 months down the road.
And we
would absolutely love to, or other members of the team. Thank you so much for the opportunity. It's been an absolute pleasure. And again, great job on the music. Really great job, Aaron, by the way, on the page, too. I was very, very impressed.
Good. Anything you have, send it to us. We'll post it. We are all about information. Thanks a million. You guys have a great one, and we hope My VA is a giant success. You can find information at wethepeopleradio.us, and we'll see you next week.